Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, with an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game. If they do, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code KSN, bet just $5, any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith, and our show is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's our fourth and final segment. Dustin, we've spent the first three quarters really ripping into Penn State. Offense, defense, coaches, and even the officials. Nothing went the way it was supposed to against Illinois on Saturday, which leads to the question why. And I've seen this brought up. I wanted to get your take on it. We've gone through this in previous seasons where it seems that James Franklin is flirting with other jobs. Some might say, oh, no, he's not. It's everybody else talking, not him. Well, guess what? Someone in his camp is talking to those people. It's probably his agent. And he refuses to deaden the rumors. He says it doesn't matter what he says. My take is, Dustin, it does matter what he says. And he's doing nothing to slow those rumors down. Now, does that have an effect on a team?
That's a great question, the collective psyche of the team. Now, what we do know, I mean, we know a couple things. Obviously, James Franklin's name has been floated out there for two big-time positions. We also know that every big-time position that opens up in the future, James Franklin's name will be mentioned for it, because this is how things are connected, and this is what his representation wants. So we know that. When USC came up, he answered the question with saying he spoke to the team's leadership council, which is made up of obviously the captain types, but leaders from each level, you know, freshman, sophomore, all the way up. So he addressed this situation with his leadership council, who presumably addressed the situation with the rest of the roster. So we know that. Is that enough in a situation like this? That's a fair follow-up question. I'm really not sure if this is taking away anything. Like my thought for it is that his agent's out there doing what he's doing. They're on the same page about it. Neither one of them is arguing or resenting the fact that Franklin's name is being mentioned. You're trying to have your cake and eat it too. You've got a great position here. You want that position to become even better by either paying you more, giving you better facilities and resources, giving you more money for assistance, giving you more opportunities to take it to the next level. And I think that's what's playing out as he's allowing his name to be publicly out there. And that's fair. But at the same time, I mean, it does create this lingering sense of doubt or confusion or, you know, not being clear. The same thing that happens with injuries, too. I get why he does what he does with injuries. But at a certain point, that rumor mill or that speculation starts to take a life of its own. And maybe this happens with the coaching job too, but you know, like if he wanted to, he could end this right now. He doesn't want to end it right now. And now whether that gets into the heads of his team or not, I'm not sure. I come from a place where I just accept the fact that Franklin's name is going to be mentioned. I don't take it very seriously anymore. Just because I've accepted that this is just where we are. But maybe his team feels differently. Maybe that affects them. I tend to lean towards that's not high on the list of factors that worked against this team. There are a lot of things that they did not do well that probably don't have anything to do with LSU or USC.
Then let's look at some of the other factors then. You were talking earlier that it's not new for a tough loss to seem to linger. It's been written about a lot as we go here. The problem now is there's several more games against really good teams that are left in this season. A year ago, they had their big heartbreaking game against Indiana early, and they lost the next four games. The very next game was Ohio State. They were then 0-2. Everything lingered. They lost five games, some of them ugly. Guess what? Could it be that kind of losing streak? Not starting at the beginning of the season, but starting with that Iowa loss. Next up, Illinois, a game they definitely should not have lost. Now you have to go to Columbus to play Ohio State. Is there a threat for this season to just unravel?
There is a threat for this season to unravel. I mean, facts are facts on this. You think about the teams that they've got left, three more, I believe, in the top nine of the AP poll, with Michigan and Michigan State in addition to Ohio State. You know, Michigan loves what they saw, I'm sure, from what Illinois could do to this team, because they're going to want to try to do the same thing. You know, Ohio State's going to want to try to create more big plays, and they're going to try to air it out, and they're going to really weaponize the threat of run to beat this secondary down the field. I think they're going to have success no matter which route they go. But just from a general point of view, I mean, the things that Penn State could least afford to happen have happened in the past 2 weeks. You know, the defensive line has been such a pleasant surprise as a whole, because Mustafer was playing at a high, high level. Ebikadi and Jesse Luketta playing at a high, high level still. But you could not afford to lose anybody in that rotation at defensive tackle. You really couldn't afford to lose the guy who is a factor that other teams have to account for. You don't have to account for Derek Tangelo. You don't have to account for Devon Ellis. They're doing a fine job in their own way, but there's a difference between holding your own at tackle and really being a difference maker, and Mustafer was a difference maker. They didn't have enough depth to be able to overcome that regardless. You also couldn't afford any injury whatsoever to your quarterback without having a threat to unravel. And now we have Sean Clifford, you know, come out of 2 weeks of trying to get healthy out of Iowa, comes back, just does not look like himself. You have the coaching staff clearly has no confidence in the backup. You have a freshman who's been on campus since January as your third stringer. You don't really have a lot of options here. If Sean Clifford is well enough to play, you kind of have to go that route. But those two things, in addition to not being able to establish the run game, it all adds up to a really troublesome combination that you're going to have to get some high-level coaching this week for sure to come out and be competitive at all with Ohio State. If a lot of these issues that were at Illinois show up again, which, you know, you're down P.J. Mustafer, your quarterback's not healthy, and you haven't been able to run the ball all year, I suspect at least one or two of those issues are going to be there in Columbus. It's not going to be pretty. I think when Penn State was at its best this year, they beat Michigan, they beat Michigan State, and they give Ohio State a hell of a game. This is not the best version, not even close, of this Penn State team. The question is, what do they do now? You're not a minor adjustment away from fixing these great big issues. It's just, I don't give them much of a shot in Columbus this weekend, to say the very least, and I'm a lot less optimistic about Michigan and Michigan State than I once was.
Dustin, you just nixed my next question, which was going to be, all right, you're in that coaches meeting. You're there with James Franklin and then two coordinators. What are you saying to that? What are you planning to do heading to Columbus?
Well, I mean, first of all, overcommit to getting the ball in the most electric players that you have. Get overcommit to getting the ball into your tight end's hands. Like, I've been dissatisfied with the extent of the tight end's role so far, just in terms of numbers, targets, catches, yards, because they've proven that they can make big plays when you ask them to. Theo Johnson's drop on Saturday excluded from that. Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington has been underutilized too. Jahan Dotson, maybe with what's going on with this team, you remove the big play threat of Jahan Dotson isn't quite the same now as it once was, because, you know, Ohio State in particular, you don't have to send a whole bunch of extra bodies. They're not going to move your front four off the ball. You don't have to bring guys into the box. So that makes it harder for Jahan Dotson to shake loose, because he's always going to have at least a second set of eyes on him. But you know what? Let's go down with running a bunch of short stuff, slants, crosses, screens, jet sweeps. Let's make sure that we go down swinging with our best possible playmakers. And running backs right now, especially with the issues up front, are not high on that best playmakers list, for me anyway.
And if you recall last year's game versus Ohio, Ohio State, when Penn State came out in the second half and marched down the field, it was doing exactly what you said. Quick passes, over the middle, not a lot of big reads, secondary reads, tertiary little reads. It was that first guy that got the ball out of his hands quickly and accurately. He did the job. So perhaps we'll see more of that. But as you said, you've got Michigan and Michigan State team that Penn State at its best. Yeah, we might look at them as the favorite. Not anymore. And both those teams, Michigan and Michigan State, they're watching that Illinois tape and saying, hey, that's what we do well also. Is there anything Penn State can do to shore that up?
Well, I mean, you got to learn your lesson from Illinois. Maybe film showed them something, but they weren't ready for what Illinois was doing. They weren't ready to make adjustments than when they were. The bigger issue to me is just you've got a one-dimensional offense with an injured quarterback who's not posing a threat on the ground. Nobody in that backfield is striking fear into any Ohio State defender right now. And that's just the fact of the matter. These Ohio State defensive linemen are a different breed of athlete than really outside of anybody else that Penn State has seen this season. I think they're going to be a real problem up front in the run game and the pass game. I'm not very optimistic about Penn State's chances. And then defensively, you know, that's out there. When Ohio State wants to run straight forward, blow you off the ball, run Trevion Henderson right at you, they're going to be able to do it. And then when you overcommit to stopping that, they're going to kill you down the field. I'm not high on Penn State's chances. They're really going to have to get up off the canvas, dust themselves off, and find whatever inspiration was lacking on Saturday. Otherwise, it's going to be a bloodbath in Columbus.
Okay, we didn't mention that the AP polls come out and Penn State has dropped to number 20. No surprise there. And going into this weekend against Ohio State, as we speak, the latest spread that I saw was 16.5 points, looking up on DraftKings. Ohio State, a 16.5 point favorite. Give me your prediction for the game.
Well, without getting into the nitty-gritty of Ohio State's stat tendencies, I haven't really looked into a lot of their box scores and stuff yet. But I'd say I like it about 38-14. I like Ohio State to cover. I don't see much different version of Penn State coming out of this, because there's some fundamental stuff that they've got to fix that they just need more time than 1 week.
They gave us nothing in that Illinois game to make us optimistic going into Ohio State. All right. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.